The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
Great Tuesday on White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio. The great people at White Mountain Radio. I'm Brad Sesmat, sports360az.com. Plenty of content on this Tuesday. Stuff around Arizona sports that we see, high school, college, pros, shot, written, videos, all sorts of content. It's at sports360az.com, and I'm on Twitter. You want to yell at me? That's fine. Knock yourself out. At Brad Sesmat. And tonight is the final night of me playing the Powerball, the lottery, the Mega Millions, because tonight, Eric, I hear that tonight we're approaching like $1 billion. It was something like $30,000 a minute, because everybody's caught up in the Mega Millions tonight.
So I know I won't see you the next couple days, but I probably won't see you the next couple years if you win, correct?
Get out of here. What are you talking about? I'll buy one of the sports teams. No, seriously, I would walk in and I would say, right now, of the four sports teams, this probably should be the Facebook question of the day, but of the four sports teams, which one would I want to buy right now in Arizona if I won the Mega Millions tonight? I'd probably go with the basketball team.
That'll be tomorrow's, by the way. So thank you for giving me the heads up on that.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you.
I like that.
Working ahead.
We always like that here on the show. On the show today, I got a lot on my mind, a lot I want to get to. The Diamondbacks keep trading away first-round picks, and I know I wrote about a month ago, when are we going to stop hearing about how great the farm system is, and let's try to win now? So they've taken my advice, okay? Jack Magruder is going to be with us, FoxSportsArizona.com, Diamondbacks insider. Think about in the last year how many top 100 prospects that Kevin Towers and the Diamondbacks have developed and have said it's time to trade them. So we're going to talk to Jack about yesterday's deal with the White Sox, all these deals with the Diamondbacks and what direction they're going. And Happy Jack is always great. Jack Magruder is awesome. Rex Chapman is going to be with us. Talk to the Lopes every week on Tuesdays. We talk Grand Canyon University sports and what's going on campus. Rex Chapman, the color analyst for Grand Canyon University. It's kind of interesting this week. No, actually, very interesting this week. Dan Marley and the GCU Lopes are playing at Tulsa. The head basketball coach at Tulsa is Danny Manning. Yeah, that Danny Manning. The former son, Danny Manning. The color analyst is Rex Chapman. It's going to be a Suns reunion in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I watched GCU over the weekend play at NAU. They got hosed on a call at the end of the game. I want to talk to Rex about what he sees out of Dan Marley in terms of coaching over GCU, the building of the program, and how Rex sees everything working out over Grand Canyon University. Talk to the Lopes with Rex Chapman.
And Tulsa's not good, Brad.
So
No, they're not good at all. So there is a chance that the Lopes could go and get a big road win this weekend.
They play New Mexico this week, too.
That's probably a loss.
That is at the pit. That's a good scheduling week at Tulsa and at New Mexico. I'll take both those. I will. Our Facebook question of the day to get us off and running. Here is Senior Executive Vice President of Everything or Some Days Nothing, Eric Sorensen.
Sort of piggybacking off of what you wrote on Monday, yesterday, about the Cardinals. The Cardinals secured only their fourth winning season since coming to the Valley. They are assured of going no worse than 9-7, which they likely will end up. Although they're 9-5.
Wow, you're so negative.
Oh my gosh.
You take off for a few days and you come back. You're supposed to be happy.
Again, we're realists.
You're supposed to be happy. You're
How many teams go to Seattle and win?
None.
Thank you.
Well, wait. No. Who was it they lost to earlier this year? It was like 10-9 up there.
I can't remember. But you're right. It was like Buffalo or some random team like that.
Somebody up there, you know, they did lose at home.
Anyways, regardless of their playoff destiny.
Okay.
Agree or disagree, this season will be considered a success under Bruce Arians, regardless of if they make the playoffs or not. I'm on the fence on this one. It goes back to my rationale with ASU. At the beginning of the year, of course, everyone at ASU would be so excited if he said, guess what, you're going to win the Pac-12 South, you're going to host the championship game against Stanford, and then you get there, and you're that close to the Rose Bowl, and there goes the air out of the balloon. And I just think with the Cardinals, I mean, the Cardinals could get double-digit wins and not make the playoffs. Think about that, double-digit wins, even 3-4 years ago when the NFC West was like the laughingstock of the NFL.
Well, and here's the thing on this, Eric. I like your question, by the way.
Well, thank you. I mean, again, I piggybacked off of something you wrote.
No, you stole it off of
me. I didn't really steal. I piggybacked.
The thing with the Cardinals and watching them, if I would have told you a year ago that Rod Graves is going to get fired, Ken Whisenhunt's going to get fired, they're going to go through a season of transition, their number one draft pick won't play a down in the regular season this year because he's going to be hurt, they're going to bring Carson Palmer off the scrap heap, Rashard Mendenhall come here, not do much, they're going to take a guy who didn't even play college football last season, who had all sorts of issues, in Tyrann Mathieu, and he would end up being probably the NFC Defensive Rookie of the Year. If I had told you all of that, and they're going to sign a guy named John Abraham for next to nothing for scraps, and he's going to be in the top five in the league in sacks, if I would have told you all of that, would you have bought into them being at 9-7? And see,
no.
whether indeed just them being at 9-5, to me, it's been a successful season because transitions in football, people say, well, you know, their schedule this year is so easy. I don't care. I'm not going to apologize for that. I've banged on the Cardinals' head with a sledgehammer and a shovel right between the eyes for calling them so incompetent through the years. And at times, you've got to step back and give them their credit. It doesn't matter which team. The Suns were inept for the last 3 years. And now I'm very pleased with the direction they're going. But they were just the biggest buffoons ever down at the Suns. They're finally going the right direction. The Cardinals, I think they're heading the right direction. This is a success. First-year coach, Steve Keim in his first year. What's to make me believe he would, as well as he's done this year, screw everything up a year later? I don't know.
You just worry, though, because the turnover in the NFL can be so drastic. Case in point, the Cardinals were so bad last year and so much better this year. Are they, quote, building something? Do you build in the NFL with free agency, the draft, retirement, trades? It's not really like in college where you get these guys as freshmen and you build your program, and by the time you've got 40 seniors on the roster, you're all set to make a run at the BCS.
If you're a competent organization in the NFL, I just think there's very few competent organizations.
Without question.
Like the Cardinals are viewed in the same breath in some people's minds as the Cleveland Browns. They're never going to win. Or the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I would say, why not? You weren't here yesterday. I did a focus group over the weekend. I hosted a focus group over the weekend. And I'm not going to go too far in this. But when I asked this focus group, who is the best owner in Arizona sports? And it was show of hands, by voice and explanation, Michael Bidwell hands down won the room. That would have never, ever, ever happened. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know who the Diamondbacks owner was. They had no idea. A few of them knew Sarver. Nobody, of course, knew who the Coyotes owner was. So I think they're heading in the right direction. I think in this first season, and again, I'm speaking to my own point, I think that this has been a successful year. People may disagree. That's fine. It's Eric's question, not mine. Go to Facebook.com/sports360AZ. That's Facebook.com/sports360AZ. We want to hear it from you. Like our page, share your input. Let's get you caught up now. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. It's brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino, you pull down that slot. It's coming to the new year. You need the big winnings. You want the big winnings. You want great food. You want a great place to stay and enjoy the holidays up in Pine Top and then go skiing at the Sunrise Ski Resort. It's all at the Honda Resort and Casino. It's nowhere else, guys. Wherever you listen to me around the state, the Honda Resort and Casino, they have a huge New Year's Eve party. This is the place to be at the Honda Resort and Casino. You can watch all these bowl games at night around the fire, pull down the slots, eat some food, and then go ski at the Sunrise Ski Resort. That's what it's all about. That's at the Honda Resort and Casino, the Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains. We're going to have Jack McGruder in about 20 minutes from FoxSportsArizona.com on the Diamondbacks, and then Rex Chapman a little bit later. I want to start today on a couple things on the college football front. One, Mike Norvell, the Arizona State Sun Devil assistant coach, offensive coordinator, who's not going to be here much longer. If they keep Mike Norvell one more year, I would be very pleased. Mike Norvell is one of the risers in the college coaching profession. He's just over 30 years of age. He's done a good job here. He's grown. He's now on the radar screen. It's my understanding that Arkansas State, not the biggest program in the world, but Arkansas State has reached out to Mike Norvell. Why is this my lead item of the day on the show here in Arizona? Because I think Todd Graham has done a very good job in building his staff. I think if Mike Norvell leaves for Arkansas State, or as they refer to A-State, he's not the first young guy that has left the nest and gone to that program. In the last 4 years, they've had four coaches at Arkansas State. They haven't fired them. They go there for 1 year, and then they move on. Their last coach just left to be the head guy at Boise State. Do I expect Mike Norvell to leave here? I do. Do I think he'd be smart to wait and see what Texas does with their head coach? Steve Patterson knows what he's all about. I get these ASU people, oh, well, you know that Steve, and we have an understanding or we have an agreement that he's not going to hire any of our people. Please get back to me. Knock yourself out with that thought process that Steve hasn't tried to find holes, loopholes, ways to elicit, entice any people that he thought were quality people, whether they're coaches, administration, anybody, to leave ASU. That's just not reality. It's just not reality. Congratulations to the Fiesta Bowl. If I were to walk up to 10 people in downtown Phoenix, or even 100 people, Eric, into downtown Phoenix and say, can you please tell me who this man is? And I hold up a picture of Dr. Robert Shelton. Would they have any idea at all who Dr. Robert Shelton is?
They'd probably say John Junker.
And because the Yellow Blazer. And yet Robert Shelton has taken the Fiesta Bowl and done with it what John Junker could not do. What do you mean by that, Brad? John did some terrific things with the bowl game back in the day. He did some outright deceitful things with the bowl game and put the bowl game behind himself, in my opinion. And John is paying for that. This isn't comparing Robert Shelton to John Junker, but here's the facts. Nobody knows who Robert Shelton is, but all Robert Shelton has done is gotten that bowl to a point where Michael Bidwell is issuing a statement saying how great it is for the Fiesta Bowl, which means to me that that was a bridge that could never be put together between John and Michael. They smiled outwardly, but inwardly, there was no love lost there. And so it's good for the community. We have a national title game in college football now in 2016. We have the Super Bowl here a year from now. When people tell me, Brad, why do you stay in Arizona? I mean, you could go to other markets and there's so much more going. Because this is the busiest sports market in America. And there's too many cool things that are going on here in our great state. Here is Dr. Robert Shelton on holding the game here. We were at his press conference yesterday afternoon with the big announcement. The national title game in college football is coming to Arizona.
This will be our eighth national championship game. They've been held with flawless execution. And of course, the climate, the weather, the resorts as a destination location, you cannot beat the Valley of the Sun, especially in January.
And you also can't beat the fact that at the Superdome in New Orleans, last time I checked, they had a power outage. And last time I heard, their wireless went out at the media hotel for 2 hours on Friday night when there was a deadline. And last I heard, they had more internal issues down there. So New Orleans finishes second. It's not so simple to say, hey, let's go party our tails off in New Orleans. No, when you see how the Fiesta Bowl works and how they go about it, that's why they're able to land this game. On the other side, a lot of thoughts on the Diamondbacks and what they're doing, the Cardinals and their playoff scenarios, and a few other things on my mind, too, before we get to the bottom of the hour with Jack Magruder. The Suns hosting San Antonio tomorrow night. I get into that in U of A basketball as well. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, White Mountain Radio, and on Twitter at Brad Sussmat. Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, on White Mountain Radio, of course. White Mountain Radio, good to be with you on there. And Twitter, we're on Twitter at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. Jack Magruder, foxsportsarizona.com, Diamondback Insider in a couple of minutes. Rex Chapman, former Sun, Talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University color analyst. Rex Chapman, as he boards a plane to head off with GCU when they play Tulsa later this week. And Danny Manning. So a couple of other college notes I wanted to get to before I get over to the NFL, some things on my mind today. Sports Illustrated came out with their All-American team, and Marion Grice made it. Will Sutton made it as a defensive tackle, of course, first team, and then Chris Coyle. Chris Coyle, I think when the draft comes, Eric, you're going to go to the Combine in February, I'm assuming. Again, you want to go in Indianapolis. And when we go through the players at Arizona State at this year's Combine, I think Chris Coyle is going to be the one that surprises a few years from now, that we're going to look at him and say, wow, he really burst on the scene. Because when he first came to ASU, he didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And ASU's had a great history with tight ends.
I don't even know why he was recruited here, because Erickson, I don't even think, really used the tight ends. And then when Mazzone came in, they definitely didn't use the tight ends. And he's really flourished since Graham took over. So
they make All-American honors, which is good for them. The Texas head coaching job, John Gruden's name has come up now with the Texas head coaching job.
Of course it has.
It's Texas. Yeah, I know. And every agent is saying, you know, Pete Carroll's name has come
up. Sure.
And
sure.
Urban Meyer's name
sure.
has come up.
They've also inquired about Phil Jackson.
So all these guys are going to get contract extensions off of the Texas job. That's the thing with Steve Patterson is, hey, my client's interested. You can throw all the money in the world you want. And, you know, the Todd Graham thing, I still don't believe that Patterson hasn't looked at the fine print on, and I'm not saying Todd's the guy for the job, but he's going to do his due diligence on all these coaches, even Todd Graham. Any good athletic director I've dealt with through the years has five names in a desk drawer for any of their jobs. So when that day comes, when a coach says, well, I'm thinking of leaving, it doesn't matter what position, doesn't matter how in love everybody is, to think that, you know, Steve Patterson, when he took the Texas job, didn't automatically think, here's the guy I want to go after. You're fooling yourselves. But is Texas a better job than, let's say, any job in the Southeast Conference? Is the Texas job one of the most overrated jobs because it hasn't come open in so long? Are Texas fans going to look back and say, you know, we actually had it pretty good with Mack Brown here. We just didn't realize it at the time. So when you hear names like Bill O'Brien at Penn State, who I think has done a terrific job up there, it would be great to run a program. Is it time for him to get out of the Big Ten and move over to the Big 12? And all you have to do at Texas is beat Oklahoma. That's all you have to do. If you're in the Southeast Conference, you have to beat Auburn and Alabama and LSU and Texas A&M. If you're the coach at Texas, are you able to recruit and get the number one kids in the state, or are those kids now going to Texas A&M because Texas A&M is in a better conference than the Southeastern Conference? My point is, this job is not all that it's cracked up to be, other than the decimal point can move a long ways down the line. That's about it.
And you have to be a politician. It's not just coaching a football team, because there's so much more to being the head coach at Texas, and it starts with the Longhorn Network, which is a huge time commitment on top of...
You ever seen the Longhorn Network?
Never. But I know my friends have it in Texas, and Mack Brown was on that network all the time.
Yeah.
Like, literally, like, most of his day when he wasn't coaching recruiting was spent on the set of the Longhorn Network, taping a show or doing an interview or doing something.
Here is Chip Kelly, the Philadelphia Eagles head coach. Of course his name has been brought up. Of course his name is now linked to Texas, because his agent is going to get him a load more money from Jeffrey Lurie.
No, I don't talk to anybody. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, it's just speculation. So I haven't spoken to anybody, nor will I speak to anybody. So
let's go back and play that. Can we play that, this slip, this like 3 seconds by 3 seconds, Eric? Can you start it and stop it? Okay, so start it.
No, I don't talk to anybody.
Stop. When he says, I haven't talked to anybody, that means my agent hasn't talked to anybody. So right there, he's already able to avoid question number one.
I really don't know. I mean, it's just speculation.
Okay. I really don't know. It's just speculation. I, meaning my agent, I don't know. Speculation is you're asking me, but I'm not going to tell you anything, no matter how you try to get my name associated with this job, because I don't know, because my agent's trying to get more money out of Texas.
So haven't spoken to anybody, nor will I speak to anybody. So.
I haven't spoken to anybody, nor will I speak to anybody means my agent hasn't called me yet to say, hey, here's the terms of the deal, hey, I'm going to get you an extension. So whenever we get into this and coaches deny, this is the season of lying. That's what this is all about.
And I should admit to you, I actually pulled a fast one on you. This soundbite that I just played was from the Fiesta Bowl postgame press conference a couple years back when he was in Oregon. And the Philadelphia media started pelting him about the Eagles vacancy.
Yes.
So, no, honestly, that was a joke.
That's funny.
A real soundbite.
That's funny. Last night's NFL game, and I'll get over to the Cardinals here in a second. Last night's NFL game, for a game that had nothing but field goals, was pretty entertaining. And Detroit's coach, Jim Schwartz, is going to get fired. That's just the way it is. There's coaches that can get their teams over the top. When your star player, who everybody has given a nickname to, drops passes that I can catch, or Eric can catch, or chairman of the board Jared can catch, screws. I mean, come on. Calvin Johnson was awful last night. How does that happen? And so it comes down to this kicker who Fabiano every week on this show when he's talking about in your fantasy team, go get Justin Tucker. We know now why.
A 61-yard try, Justin Tucker. Sam Cook with a hold, kick on the way. Tucker's kick, it is good! He hit it from 61 yards!
Woo!
Holy mackerel, 6 for 6, and they can't believe it at Ford Field.
Was that the Lions call? Oh, no, wait. That was right. The guy that goes, woo, gets paid a lot of money. Gets paid a lot of money, go, woo! You know, when you've got the pom-poms and you've got the skirt and you've got a headset on at the same time, and the best you can come up with is, woo! Or you're the play-by-play guy and you get paid lots of money and the best you can come up with is, holy mackerel. It's a pretty good gig, pretty sweet gig. So Matthew Stafford wasn't good. They pick him off at the end. And here's Justin Tucker. Okay, here's the reality of the situation. Justin Tucker goes out and kicks 6 field goals last night. So what is his reaction?
He kicks 6 field goals and we win the game. I'm happy to do it. Don't get me wrong. And my fantasy team is benefiting from it as well. So I'm happy about that. And fantasy owners around the world, I hope you guys appreciate the points as well.
He's right. We don't care who won the game. All we care about is walking in today saying, how did my team do?
That's a sad reality, isn't it?
We walk in here.
It's
okay.
A sad, sad reality.
Aaron and Scott are sitting over there.
That's
the Sky
all they
guys,
talk about.
That's all
Literally,
they talk,
they
have
all
no
they talk
life.
About.
Aaron and Scott have no life. That's it. They just, all they care about is fantasy football. All right? And I get it. It's the Ravens and Lions. Who else cares but fantasy guys? That's the greatest soundbite ever from Justin Tucker.
Yeah, to have a player actually pat himself and all of his fantasy owners on the back for making a big kick and scoring a bunch of points is pretty cool.
No, I know Fitz got concussed, but I mean, could you imagine Fitz after a game, Larry, how'd it feel? My fantasy fans, they were all happy. I'm glad I was able to score 14 points for the Litigators. Glad I was able to score 14 points for the Wool Seekers. Glad I was able to, you know, the Rice Ball, whatever the team name is. So, you know, that's half the fun. Now, on the Cardinals end of things, everybody's trying to figure out, these analysts nationally trying to figure out what has to happen for the Cardinals to make it into the postseason. They're becoming apoplectic. They're losing their minds. What does it take for the Cardinals to get in? I'll tell you very simply what it takes. They have to win. It doesn't matter what happens with Carolina. It doesn't matter what happens with San Francisco. Well, if Carolina, it doesn't matter what Carolina does. If they don't win at Seattle and they don't beat San Francisco here, they're not going to go. It's really not that hard. So when I hear they could win out and then have Carolina lose at least one of their final two games at home against the Saints or on the road against the Falcons, it's a waste of ink. They have to win. Simple. So the Diamondbacks have traded away 4 of the top 100 prospects in all of Major League Baseball in the last calendar year. Why are they doing this? And I actually agree with this move. Here's Jack McGruder. He'll join me next, FoxSportsArizona.com. And then Rex Chapman, talk to the Lopes, the former Sun, color analyst for GCU and Dan Marley's team. He joins me in the next half hour as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. I'm pumped, psych geek, not because Jack McGruder is going to be with me here in a second. I mean, I like Jack a lot. It's on a personal level. My firstborn is graduating college tomorrow and Thursday. It's such a big deal. They have 2 commencement services tomorrow and Thursday at Arizona State. And it's a pretty cool feeling. Through the years, I'm an open book with you guys on things. And I'm having this moment where son is graduating college. It means I'm old. Man, I'm just like, drag me, Eric, out of here. Just put me in a box. I'm getting to that point in life. So I'm very fired up for that. On the sports end of things, I have to tell you, a month ago, I wrote, I'm tired of hearing, and I talked about it on the show, I'm tired of hearing about how great the farm system is and how we have all these assets in the farm system. Because at some point, I want to see the team win, not be in second place, the Diamondbacks in second or third place. I want to see them win. So I don't know if they read what I write or you know, listen to the show. I don't know, but I know in the last couple of weeks, last week or so, they've traded away three of the top 100 prospects a year ago, according to Baseball America. In fact, if you go back in the last year, they traded away four of the top prospects. Jack Magruder joins us. He is no prospect. He is the real deal. FoxSportsArizona.com breaks down the Diamondbacks. Jack, what do you make out of what's gone on here in the last couple of weeks by Kevin Towers with these prospects being traded away?
Well, I like it because prospects haven't done it yet. Mark Trumbo's done it. Addison Reed has done it. If you want to win, which I'm sure they are reading you and they follow you and they want to please you,
yeah.
If you want to win, you're going to get major league players that know how to win. And I think they did the right thing in all of their instances. I think, I don't know if you want to get into a long deal here, but Tanner Skaggs hasn't shown yet that he can be a major league pitcher. Maybe he will be someday. I'm not sure. I kind of don't think so, but that's just me. So you get Trumbo for Mark or Adam Eaton. You don't need Adam Eaton because Pollock's going to be your leadoff hitter. Yesterday's trade, Matt Davidson, as good as he is blocked. Martin Brado is a better player. Matt Davidson's not going to play third base for the D-backs. Why not try to get a return for him? So you get bullpen help. I think they've done well by themselves so far, and I know they're still planning to sign a free agent pitcher. So
here's the thing on Davidson. Let's go back to yesterday's deal.
Yeah.
And I agree with you on he's blocked at third base. This is one of those deals that you look at in 2016 and 2017 and say, wow, here's what Addison Reed had done when he was with the White Sox. He saved 40 games, he saved 67 games. You know, the numbers are very impressive. Since he came to Arizona, he did this. Matt Davidson was traded for a closer. There are people in the baseball circles that will argue a closer only impacts an inning or two of games. Okay. I'm one of those that is with you. I'd rather see the bullpen shored up. It's the second year in a row where they've tried to make a move with Heath Bell last year. It didn't work. Now Addison Reed comes in here. So I think on the Davidson deal, yeah, he was blocked. Did they get enough for him? Were they able to get something in a guy that will help them in the back end of the bullpen? I'm fine with that deal. The Trumbo deal, Jack, I'm still open on that one because I don't love that trade. It sounds like you love it. I think it's okay. Holes in the bat. Let's see if he can do better than his on-base percentage, which has not been good in Anaheim.
No, he's coming to a hitter's park, which will help him. I mean, there are not a whole lot of legitimate power bats in the major leagues anymore. They don't make them anymore. He's one of the, you know, he's a guaranteed, at least he has been so far in his career, a guaranteed 30 home run hitter. In a park that is not as friendly to hitters as Chase Field is. The D-backs, you know, they needed that production. Now, you could argue that with Miguel Montero healthy, with Aaron Hill not getting hurt, with those sorts of things, that they would be better naturally next year without an addition to the bat. But I think they're looking in the long term. They've got Mark Trumbo for 3 years locked up now. They've got Paul Goldschmidt through some ridiculous amount, 218 or 219. That's a pretty good 3-4 combination, and I think why not do that? Adam Eaton, they wanted that leadoff guy to steal some bases last year, but then he gets hurt. I think they decided, even without seeing him in full action, that that's not the way to go, that they needed more offense. Now, he's not going to be a great defensive player. I mean, I think everybody knows that, but he's going to try, and he's going to play hard, and he's, you know, when you hit a 3-run homer in the ninth inning to win a ball game, it's you can slide a little bit on the defense. Now, another thing about Matt, and I know where you're going from on that, he wouldn't put those numbers up here. I mean, it's speculation what he would do here.
Sure, sure. No,
he won't
get
a chance to play.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to hitter's park, too, but I've had scouts that I trust tell me, you know, for years now that he still is a little, he still needs to get better defensively. His footwork needs to get a little better. Now, in the league he's in now, with more offensive thrust with more offensive. They're looking for more offense there. Maybe he'll fit in just fine. You know, I don't know that he's a major league defender at this point, and that's not to take anything away from him. And he probably will be a good player, but I think you get a good player back in return, and, you know, you're not going to pull the wool over everybody's eyes every year. You're going to have to trade somebody good to get somebody good. And Reed's 25. He's had 69 saves the last 2 years. Throws in the mid-90s with a nice slider. You know, why not? Maybe he's your closer answer for 5 years.
Jack McGruder with us, FoxSportsArizona.com. Diamondbacks insider for a couple of minutes. All the deals that the Diamondbacks made, including yesterday, trade away Matt Davidson. Addison Reed comes back here. He wants to be the closer here. I myself have seen enough of J.J. Putz that knows that there's a wall that he hits invariably for a couple of times a season. Do you think Reed is automatically going to be the guy when we get to spring training?
Well, they won't say it, but yeah, I think so for
sure.
Yeah, I think
he has to be, right?
That's why you trade him.
Yeah.
That's why you get him. Now, J.J. could be a terrific eighth-inning guy, and then you've got Ziegler and David Hernandez to fill in the rest of the work. You know, to me, he certainly is the closer, and I don't think there's any question about that. Then, you know, that sets you up pretty good. Now, if he can do the job, that sets you up 7th, 8th, 9th, like the 2017, like the 2011 team, when they, you know, when they needed 9 outs at the end of the game, they could usually get them, and that sure takes a load off a manager's liner and makes it a lot easier.
A couple of questions to let you go. So, Tanaka, for the fans that aren't aware of this, big-time pitcher overseas, had his meeting with his organization. His team president spoke today over there, Daily Sports, right. I'd read today. Are the Diamondbacks truly going after this big-time player from overseas to put on the top of their rotation? Are they really in this?
Well, it'll cost them 20. The best thing about this new process is that any team only has to bid $20 million. It costs $51.7 million to bid on Yu Darvish, and, of course, the D-backs weren't going to go there. But $20 million, I think they'll pony up. But, you know, they won't be the only team, and I think it'll still turn into a bidding war. And I'm not sure how high they're willing to go. Kevin Towers told us yesterday that he's on the back burner right now. And if he does get posted, you know, they'll circle around and see what they have. I think right now they're more interested in the Matt Garzas and Irvin Santanas. A name we haven't heard much is Bronson Arroyo, he's a free agent and he's good. And he's only looking for 3 years. Garza and Santana, in theory, looking for 5 years. D-backs want to go 3. So maybe that's a fallback option if they want to go that way.
Tanaka puts people in the seats, though. None of those other guys put people in the seats.
Winning puts people in the seats.
You know, in this market, does it?
Well, eventually it does. Yeah,
eventually it does, but even last season.
You think Tanaka will put a lot of people in the seats?
I do. I think that here's the thing with Tanaka. Tanaka would bring such a curiosity factor that this organization doesn't have. And I'm not saying this derogatory towards the Diamondbacks, okay? But last season, when they're in first place, they didn't do anything special in attendance. When it's July, people go on vacation. So the month of July, it doesn't matter if they're perfect. They're going to struggle to get people to come down there for about 3-4 weeks in July. School's back in session. The NFL's over. This is a very unique market. And they've got to draw people, Jack, I believe, through curiosity. Goldschmidt has started to do that, but Goldschmidt alone's not going to sell the place out.
Well, I'm not sold on Tanaka selling the place out either. You know, when they had Randy Johnson from 99 to...
Sure, Randy and Kurt,
prime,
yeah.
But... He could throw a no-hitter any night, every night. But the attendance never changed when Randy pitched compared to when the other guys pitched. I think the only thing people want to see is get on the bandwagon and see a winning team. Well, after 2001, their 2002 attendance was terrific. After 2007, they saw a bump in 2008. But it's going to take sustained winning, I think, to have sustained interest and sustained fans in the seats.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your insight as always, Jack. Thanks.
Thank you, Brett.
Jack McGruder with us, FoxSportsArizona.com. On the other side, Rex Chapman. Talk to the Lopes every Tuesday. We talk Grand Canyon University with lots of people around the sports scene at GCU. Rex Chapman will be that one next. Men's basketball analyst, former Sun. This week, it will be GCU playing against Tulsa. That's Danny Manning's team. So I'm sure there's some Sun stories in there somewhere to work through. Talk to the Lopes is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to talk to the Lopes, GCU, Grand Canyon University, every week across the state. And, of course, on White Mountain Radio, going to be on White Mountain Radio, sports360az.com with Brad Sussmat. Talk to the Lopes this week. Rex Chapman joins us, former NBAer, former Phoenix Sun, front office executive, man of many talents, who is now the color analyst of the Lopes. He is in security at Sky Harbor. If you need to put your phone through the system, I can fill for a minute or two. Are you all right?
You know what, Brad? I may take you up on that here in about a minute and a half.
If you have to do it, I can tap dance. Eric and
right,
I can do our thing.
Well, we're going to plan on that. It might be the first time in what radio history for this, but yeah, you might have to tap dance for a couple seconds.
Nah, I'm all right with that. I'm good with that.
All right.
Do I have enough time to ask you, how do you think the team is doing under Dan, or do you have to run?
No, I think this team's doing terrific. These guys are, I know they've been through a whirlwind. Most of them, you know, probably never, you know, gone through a boot camp like they went through, the first few months after Dan took over. I know he brought some Pat Riley-esque type workouts and philosophy with him to this GCU program, and they're seeing the results already. I mean, this team has gotten off to a very good start, beating some quality teams, and they're going to take their lumps a little bit this first year in Division I, but they've sure been a joy to watch.
He dresses like Pat Riley, is that what you said?
What's that?
He slicks his hair back like Pat Riley. Is that what you said?
No, that's not what I said.
So give the fans a little idea. When you mention a name like Pat Riley, obviously he had an impact on Dan. So in all seriousness, what is it that you're seeing in his coaching, whether it's game day or practice time?
Yeah, and I played for Pat in Miami for a year as well. So I've got a bit of a background on what he likes to do. And the main thing, you know, I think one of Pat's main philosophies is that you have to be in shape to play this game. And his teams are always right at the top of the list of the best conditioned teams in the league. And, when you've got a team going from Division II to Division I, they might be a little bit outmanned here and there, throughout the course of the season. The last thing you want to do is take a chance on having players that might not be in the top physical shape. So he's got all these kids rock solid. I mean, there are kids on this roster that have, 15, 20 pounds over the summer and added muscle. And it's just been, like I said, it's been a pleasure to watch. And these guys are absolutely, playing at a high level, and they execute extremely well. Extremely well. All right, time to tap dance.
Okay, I'm going to tap dance. So Rex
right,
Chapman, yeah, no, just put, he put the phone down. So Rex Chapman is going through security right now. This is Talk to the Lopes. It's live, man. I don't need to sit here and tape something. Eric, we've tap danced before, but I don't think we've had a tap dance where a guy has been through security. He actually left the phone on. So if we hear the...
I don't know if he left the phone on. It's tough to tell. It's live radio, so I'm going to pot the phone back up here in a couple minutes, and he could be there.
Well, no,
he
just
may
leave
not
it up.
Be there.
Leave it up. It's fine. I don't mind.
All right.
If I hear a beeping sound, we know they disconnected us. Rex Chapman talked... Oh, you're back. Wow.
I'm back.
You went through screening that quick?
Well, I was in line. I finally got up to the little... security actual checkpoint, and just had to throw my phone on the belt, and voila, here I am.
So you're cleared. You're not going to have to bolt away from me again. Have they wanded you? Did they search you yet?
Straight on through.
Oh wow, listen to you. All right, so now we have some time to talk about this. When you look at specific players, and you do the games on Cox 7, so the game is going to be on TV tomorrow night on Cox 7, the game at Tulsa. But when you look at specific players on this roster, give me a guy that you're looking at saying, wow, this is better than what I thought he'd be doing at this point under Dan in year one.
Well, Demetrius Walker is a heck of a player. You know, he's well-traveled. And you know, can put the ball in the basket. You know, a guy that, you know, so much was written and said as a local kid here from Phoenix. I think way back when he was about 13, they put him on, you know, Sports Illustrated as, you know, the next LeBron James. Well, you know, Demetrius, it was so unfair. You know, he was almost fully grown then. He was about 6'3", and I think he's about 6'4 now. But he's had some injuries over the year. He's originally signed with ASU, but the guy can really play. And this team depends on him to score and facilitate and do a lot of things. But they've got other guys like Killian Larson and Blake Davis, another local product from Brophy. And right on down the line, I mean, Jerome Garrison, another local kid who had a terrific high school career. But these guys are all, they're kind of lunch pail guys. Who put their hard hats on and come to play every day, come to practice every day. And, you know, I know Dan has been pleased with how the effort that they give. And you know one thing about a Dan Marley team, they're going to pretty much mimic how he played. And that was all out all the time, tough defense, and do whatever the coach asked.
Talk to the Lopes, Rex Chapman with us every week. We do Talk to the Lopes. Rex with us today, actually, from the airport, heading off to the game tomorrow night on Cox 7. It'll be Grand Canyon University against Tulsa, coached by Danny Manning. Have you spoken with Danny about this game?
I haven't spoken with Danny. I'm planning on getting with him this evening when we get in, and I'm sure laughing, telling lies, and all that good stuff. But I'm excited for Danny. You know, he paid his dues, and longtime assistant for Bill Self there at Kansas after he retired from playing, and he's gotten a terrific opportunity at Tulsa, and you know, I watched them play a little bit the other night against Oklahoma, and they've got an athletic team, so it's going to be a tough challenge for the Lopes.
Let me ask you this. You are very close with the Kentucky program, and here's Dan that is starting out here at Grand Canyon University. Can you take anything of what you've seen in a program that is steeped in rich history and tradition and heritage and titles and pass it over to Dan as he's trying to build this program? Or do you just leave Dan to himself, Rex?
Well, I think, you know, Dan has been such a success at every level he's been, from Central Michigan, you know, to high school, to Central Michigan, to, you know, his stellar career in the NBA. You know, he played on a team that, you know, nearly won it all, went to the finals, and, you know, barely was beaten by the Bulls in a loss that still stings here in the Valley. You know, Dan knows what it takes to win. But I do know that he is trying to build something. And you've always, you know, when you're, especially when you're going from taking a program from Division II to Division I, you know, you've got to lay that foundation, those building blocks, and you know, this team is in a silly sort of rule when you transfer from Division I to Division II, make that leap, you're not allowed to play in the postseason for 4 years.
Right,
and that's tough. You know, it's tough recruiting wise. Kids want to come in, and they want to at least have a shot to play in the big dance in March. It's tough for the players that are here, you know, it's tough, but, you know, they'll look back here in 3 or 4 years and see these guys like Jerome and Killian and Demetrius and Blake and right on down the line, and know that these are the guys that laid that foundation for, you know, teams to come that will be postseason eligible. So, you know, it's very fun, especially for me, you know, from sort of an outside view, just watching and watching this program grow. You know, Jerry Colangelo has been very heavily involved, one of our favorite guys here in the Valley, with, you know, this sort of development of Grand Canyon. And, I know you've been over there, Brad, but it's a fantastic place.
Yeah.
You would never know it. And I would encourage anybody who hasn't been over there, you know, in Central Phoenix to, you know, make that trek and see the facilities, walk around the campus, and especially check out a ball game, because it's a fantastic atmosphere over there.
Yeah, I have a daughter who goes there, so I'm there a lot.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm there a lot, and I see what's going on other than basketball. That's my whole thing. It's the vision that Brian Mueller, when I first met him about 5 years ago, and we were talking about the basketball program, that it could be Gonzaga, it could be Marquette, I have felt that for a long time, even before I met Brian, that, boy, if somebody just put the time and the investment and the group that they have there with Brian and Stan Meyer and everybody, and to see where it is now, you know that it can get there. They're playing at Kentucky next year, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they are. You know, that'll be a challenge. But, you know, my Kentucky squad's not playing very well right now. they're going through some growing pains with a bunch of freshmen. And, you know, I'm hopeful that, you know, they'll pick things up. But it'll be a great opportunity for this GCU program to go to Lexington, play in Rupp Arena in front of, you know, 24,000 screaming fans. And, you know, that's part of the whole building process. And who knows, they may go in there and spring an upset of all time.
Yeah, that's the way you got to look at it. Before I let you go, so you're having fun doing this. What else are you doing? Are you being dad time, GCU time?
Yeah,
how are you doing this?
Pretty much. I'm chasing my kids around. I've got two in college, one at ASU, one at Kentucky, and then one in high school and one in middle school. So a lot of running around, chauffeuring, and all that good stuff, fun stuff.
Good for you. Good for you. Safe travels. I'll see you tomorrow night in the broadcast. Thanks for the visit.
All right, Brad. Thank you.
Rex Chapman there with us for a couple of minutes. Always good to visit with a former son. Men's basketball analyst. That's Talk to the Lopes. Talk to the Lopes. Every week here on Sports 360 AZ and across the state, White Mountain Radio. Appreciate Rex Chapman joining us this week. I was telling GCU I want to have on one of their compliance folks. Eric, you know the whole deal on when you can make contact, when you can't make contact, how you go about recruiting. They have over 20 Division I sports programs over there now. So
it's really confusing, too. The windows are, some of them are bigger than others, and there's a no contact period and open recruiting and blah, blah, blah.
It's kind of funny. My daughter, not the one that's at GC, but my other daughter is getting recruited in soccer. And I've been in this conversation with the college that she's looking at about her scholarship. And the number has grown again that they've decided to give to her. And that's nice. And it's just a matter of being persistent. I know that people check us out because we do a lot of college and we do some high school stuff here, along with the pros. That's what we're all about across the state. But I think that when you have someone on from compliance at GCU on what it takes academically and athletically, because everybody's chasing that scholarship, and fans, parents, grandparents don't know all the insides and outs. And so I think after the holidays are done, we're going to just do a compliance segment. We have those rules in my house. We have those rules here on the show. Well, actually, we don't have any rules on the show other than I have to stop talking at a certain point. Sports360AZ.com, plenty of content. If you go to the homepage today, you will see all sorts of unique content that we shoot, we write, we edit. We just throw some thoughts up against the wall, some opinion stuff from this show on the high school, college, and pros. Check it out, sports360az.com. We're on Twitter, at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. And always good as we continue to grow on White Mountain Radio, the good people at White Mountain Radio.